Spacegate at the International Space University here in Florida, and we've had another fascinating lecture, this time from Russell Romanella, who is currently the Director of Safety and Mission Assurance. This is another nice long NASA title, and previously you were the Director of Space Station Ground Processing. That's kind of the thing I'm interested in at the moment, because we are set to be looking at the next generation of space station, one of our team projects. But first of all, I have to ask you, how do you process a space station? What does that actually mean?
Well, space station ground processing means that elements that we attached on orbit all came through the Kennedy Space Center. So they got delivered from Japan, from Canada, from Russia, all over Europe, and all over the United States. They came to the Kennedy Space Center at different stages of readiness. Some of them came almost ready to fly. We just did some post-delivery verification, got them ready, put them in the shuttle, and then launched them. Some of them came in pieces and parts, and we actually had to put them together at the Kennedy Space Center. So ground processing at the Kennedy Space Center was taking all of these pieces and parts, getting them ready, making sure that when they got launched and were attached to the space station on orbit, they were going to work. So we did a lot of ground testing with them, assembly, put them inside the space shuttle, and got launched to orbit. So that's what ground processing space station means.
So the International Space Station currently is made out of several modules that have come from various different countries. Did all of those modules pass through your processing system, and did you check that they actually connected properly on the ground, or was that a kind of send it up and see what happens in space and hope for the best kind of situation?
So of all of the modules that are on the space station today, there were two that got launched in Kazakhstan by the Russians. All the other ones got launched by the space shuttle here at the Kennedy Space Center. Almost 40 shuttle launches that it took to bring up all of those pieces and parts over 15 years of assembly of the space station on orbit. And what was the other question?
I was wondering if all of the pieces, whether you connected them on Earth to see like if jigsaw pieces they would fit together, or if you kind of sent them up into space and went, fingers crossed, let's see.
Because it was so many years between the time that we first started a launch to the time we ended, we never had all of the pieces in the same place at the same time. But what we did have is emulators and simulators. We built things on the ground to act as if they were those pieces on orbit. And so we would hook the different elements up on the ground in as close to flight-like configuration. And we did what's called multi-element integrated test. For example, we had the Japanese module here, we had Node 2 here, and we had the European module here at the same time. We didn't physically attach them, but we did connect their cooling lines, their telemetry, all of the comm lines, and as if they were going to be activated on orbit, and tested them to make sure they were going to work. And then we had a piece on the ground called an emulator that acted as if it was the rest of the space station, but on the ground. So now these pieces on the ground thought that the rest of the space station was right there next to them, even though you didn't physically connect them.
So constructing the space station took, what, over 10 years in space to complete the station. That, I mean, there must be some enormous challenges within that. I mean, constructing anything in space is going to be difficult, but when it's that big and your parts are coming up over that length of time, how do you overcome those kind of challenges? Or can you identify some of the key things that you had to look at when you were designing, building, processing the space station?
So there was a lot of the interfaces between the elements were challenging. And so you try to define those interfaces as best as you can, but as you get closer to the maturity of the design, there are things that you didn't think of. And so you constantly are negotiating with international partners and even with other American companies that are all participating, trying to figure out who's going to fix this problem. And often there were multiple ways to fix something. Who ended up paying for it was another story. How you negotiated that with the international partners is a challenge. How keeping that international cooperation and that partnership together while you were having these problems and budget challenges and technical problems was a challenge. But you just knocked them down one at a time. You made sure you had good configuration control. You made sure you had good partnerships. You made sure you had good trust and cooperation among the countries. So there were international challenges. There were technical challenges. There were schedule challenges. There were budget challenges. So all of those were there.
And the pieces of the station were built all around the world. Did that pose a particular challenge when you tried to fit them together? And have you come up with some kind of international standards that might work in future stations? And as you were saying, the things that you don't think about at the time, how can you leave space for those if you don't know what they're necessarily going to be?
Well, there, for example, where different pieces of the space station came together, there were interfaces there that the United States built all of them. And we sent them to these countries and said, put this on your module. That way, when you attach your module, it's going to work. And then we sent simulators that acted as if it was the other piece that it was going to see. And we actually proved that it would mate on the ground. So that's how we did it.
So the International Space Station is a collaboration with all sorts of nations around the world. Looking into the future, how important do you think that commercial space will be? And do you think there's any room for a kind of part public and part commercial station, or would you always keep commercial operations separate on their own little stations?
Yeah, I think that there is a partnership. I think the desire would be that those kinds of routine operations that we can get out of, that NASA can get out of the business of actually having to fund to manage, that we can turn those over to these private companies where they can be successful, that we ought to be doing that. NASA's focus should be on exploration. Exploration isn't necessarily low Earth orbit. Exploration is deep space. How are we going to put colonies on the moon? How are we going to mine asteroids? How are we going to get to Mars? That kind of exploration. So I think there can be a partnership between the commercialization and the NASA part of it. And then as the commercialization gets more mature and they've proved their capability and their technologies, it absolutely, we ought to turn more and more stuff over to them. I think that there is a significant potential to reduce costs and allow creativity to happen in the commercial market. And so NASA, I think, is doing that very well today with commercial cargo. We're moving in that direction with commercial crew, and I think you'll see it in either other areas in the future.
So that's talking about elements of the station being built or transportation services being supplied by private companies. What if you wanted, say, a commercial module so that maybe a pharmaceutical company could go and do research up there, or an area for space tourists? Or would you want to keep that separate from the sort of the important work of the astronauts?
There's a country called Bigelow, right? Bigelow is interested in putting up a space hotel. They're interested in space tourism. There are different companies that are interested in doing those things. NASA today is trying to fund some of the building blocks that can allow this to happen. We won't necessarily fund everything because we can't afford to do it, but to fund the building blocks and provide the basic capability so that these things can happen, I think absolutely that's going to happen within NASA.
So you might put on one of your universal connector units, give that to Bigelow, and then they could come and sort of dock with your bit of station?
Yeah, we are partnering with different companies and providing technology with them. If you're talking station specifically, would we allow a commercial company to dock with station? Mm-hmm. It depends what they want to do. We've allowed tourists to go to space station, mm-hmm. right? And it depends what companies want to do and what they want to do. We have a lot of interest in space station. We want to make sure, and there are limited resources of space station. So if somebody's coming up to space station, are they using our resources? How are they going to replenish them? What risk do they pose to space station? How can we make sure that the vehicle is protected and safe, and so that this investment, this $100 billion investment that we have, is protected? I think that anything that does go to space station is going to have a very rigorous review of what it can do. Even SpaceX, when they were docked to space station here in the last couple of months, they did a lot of tests and proof of concepts. And then even on that mission, they did station keeping activities. They got close. They proved the telemetry and communication before we ever allowed them to get close. So I see that happening.
I can imagine there still would have been a few people at NASA holding their breath as they saw the Dragon capsule approaching their multi-billion dollar station up in space, though.
I think by the time it happened, we were confident, we were sure it was going to happen, and we're okay with it.
And again, just looking towards the future space stations, say something that's being built in the next, or being designed in the next 15 or 25 years, are there any kind of lessons you've learned, things that you would desperately want to change from the way that things were done, either from the ground side or in space? And what do you think, that you can build on? Like, I mean, I know I've heard a lot of people talking about international cooperation being one of the major strengths of the space station. And a talk I went to earlier this evening, they said that international cooperation is the future of space. How do we get new partners on board? How do we build on what we have, and what bits do we leave behind?
So you asked a bunch of questions here. And so space station, what are some of the lessons that we've learned? Obviously, international cooperation can work. International cooperation helps space station survive and keep it going even in some very difficult times, and has helped make it a success today. Things that we've discovered on space station, like dissimilar redundancy, I had talked about it earlier, where we actually had two different ways to do the same thing, whether there were spacesuits, whether it was the environmental control systems on space station. Those things we learned were very valuable. Even two different ways to get access to space station was very valuable. And so we learned those kind of lessons, and those will be applicable in the future. We've learned a lot of things about how humans live and work in space, about the environment of space, about the psychological environment in space, about the physiological environment in space, how to protect humans, what kind of exercise, what are the risks that they have to their bones and muscles or kidney stones or other health problems in the future. We've learned a lot about how to make materials in laboratories and how to use space to be able to do that kind. So all of those kind of things will be applied to any kind of exploration program in the future.
And is it time that we left low Earth orbit with the space station?
Is it time that we took space station out of low Earth orbit, or if we went beyond low Earth orbit?
If we were designing a new station to transition from the current International Space Station, would you want to see it continuing the work that's being done in low Earth orbit, or is it time that we stepped out and, you know, took the tentative steps out into the solar system with humans?
It is those steps that humans take that we've never taken before that teach us the most and that challenge us the most and that reward us the most. And so it's those steps that we need to be taking, and that's beyond low Earth orbit. And bases on the moon or mining asteroids or going to a Martian moon or even landing humans on Mars absolutely has to happen.
Excellent. Thank you ever so much for your time.